Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. And as Eric has already mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone and especially those who are visiting with us. And the Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day. It's warm, but it's good to be able to come together and worship Him on the Lord's Day. And I appreciate those who are visiting. Among them, some dear friends of mine, Jerry and Janet McLean, and I appreciate them accepting the invitation to be here this evening. We had actually talked a little bit earlier in the week about the advertised lesson for this evening out on the sign. I changed that to accommodate a particular request and was glad to do that. But we've made recording of that sermon, and so if you would like a copy of that, we'll be glad to get you that. So I appreciate everyone who is here, and I also wanted to mention that the individual leading our closing prayer to keep Janet's mother in our prayer. She's undergoing radiation and treatment for illness, and we hope that she'll get better, and let's remember her in our prayers. But we appreciate all of our visitors here this evening. In Luke chapter 15, in the scripture reading that we just had in the first 10 verses, Jesus makes it clear that He and His Father are interested in sinners and saving souls, and we certainly need to be as well. And beginning in verse 11, if you turn to Luke chapter 15, the parables that Jesus is teaching there about the lost coin and the lost sheep continue on with regard to the lost son, or the story of the prodigal son. This evening, I want us to talk about a journey to a far country. And I want us to think about the idea of leaving God and leaving the faith and leaving the Lord, but having the desire to come back. And sometimes I believe that in the lives of all of us, we want to experiment, we want to leave, we want to go out and try something new and exciting. And we simply need to understand that what we have in the Lord is the spiritual blessings that we need to have, and we don't need to leave that. All that we need spiritually is found in Christ, and we don't need to go off to the world as so many do today. But in Luke chapter 15, I would like to read this evening the entire text of the prodigal son and then have some observations for our consideration this evening with regard to a journey to a far country. Let's read together, beginning in verse 11. And Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the country, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he had come to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and I never transgressed a commandment of thine, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But when thy son came, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. And so the well-known story of the prodigal son. That word prodigal is an older English word. If you'll notice in chapter 16 and verse 1, the story goes on to talk about Jesus is talking about the unrighteous steward who was accused of wasting his goods. Verse 1, that's the same word. It's used only here in the scripture of wasting. Prodigal means wasting. And so he took his substance, what was given to him, verse 13, and wasted his substance in riotous living. And so the word, the English word prodigal, is used to describe this individual. We might not waste our earthly substance, but we might waste our time. We might waste our talents. We might waste other things in the devil's service. And we might want to think about the importance this evening of returning and making that journey home. Maybe you've come to that point in your life where you realize you need to come back. Or maybe we're not at that point and we're making that journey downward and we need to start making those steps back to our Father. I want us to talk a little bit this evening about that journey to a far country. In verse 13, he gathered all that he had and took his journey into a far country. I want to talk about that country this evening with regard to three things. There are three things that will happen to us when we make this journey to this country. And I want us to think about that this evening for our admonition. You stop and think about the idea of going and traveling to another country. The first thing that I think about is the excitement about experiencing new things, and we can kind of have the best of both worlds. When I've had an opportunity to travel to other countries, one of the things that I always find happening is that when that plane is coming down, if you're going by plane, you're looking out the window, you're staring out the window. You can't wait to see what is there. If you've traveled to some other country, there's an excitement about that. In fact, it's interesting. You can tell who the tourists are and who the locals are. The tourists are straining their neck and they're looking out and they've got the camera hanging around their neck and there's this excitement. There is a language that we haven't heard and there's food that we haven't eaten and there's the people are different and the countryside's different and so there's this excitement. Well, what's happening here is that when the devil gets us to leave the Father, there's an excitement about that. There's a newness about that. There's an excitement about that. And we get to experience these new kinds of things. Sometimes if you're in another country and you're traveling on public transportation, you can always tell the locals versus the tourists. The locals are asleep. They're not looking out the window. The tourist is looking out the window. They want to see what's new. There's an excitement about that. There's excitement around every corner. The food is going to be different. The lodging is going to be different. And that's natural. But the devil exploits that and uses that in a spiritual sense. And so when we leave home and we want to go out and we want to experience sin and we want to engage in the things of this life, some of those things are new and exciting the very first time. But then, once we get into that far country of sin, then reality sets in and problems set in. The second thing that I think about with regard to traveling to a far country is that you get to express your independence. You get to get out there and do whatever you want. You can spend your money and you can go eat anywhere you want and you can travel anywhere you want. You're out on your own and you're having a good time. So there's a level not only of excitement, but there's also a level of independence. For the first time, nobody's telling us what to do and nobody's telling us where to go and no rules and no responsibilities. And so we can sow our wild oats, as it were. These two things are reflected in the story and are reflected in today's society. And so the devil tempts us with these two areas of excitement and independence. And let's be honest, with regard to some sin, there is a level of that. In Hebrews chapter 11, with regard to Moses, in verses 20 and 21 and 22, it says there, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And then it says that he refused to choose the pleasures of sin for a season. He didn't want that. He stayed with the people of God rather than choosing the pleasures of sin for a season. Look at that, the pleasures of sin for a season. The devil advertises it that way. It's exciting. It's new. It's fun. So we get out and we begin to engage in that. And on the front end, it's exciting. We've got to see with the eye of faith down that road. You remember that old song, look down that lonesome road before you travel, you see? Before you travel down that lonesome road, look down, look down. You see, we don't want to do that. We want to just have fun now and have excitement now. We don't want to look down that long, lonesome road before we travel. We want to engage in that. We want to have fun in that. And we're really blinded to the things that lay down that long, lonesome road. And so this evening, I want us to talk about this far country. And as we think this evening about this young man, we may be thinking about someone who has quit the church altogether. We might be thinking this evening, we might have someone in mind about someone who just doesn't darken the doors anymore, someone who's quit the Lord altogether. And it certainly applies to that individual, but in a way, it can apply to each of us with regard to a sin that we might commit. We're going to talk about three aspects of this far country, and if you think about it, that applies to any sin that we might commit. It doesn't necessarily mean someone has just completely left the Lord before this lesson applies. These things can be in our lives, and so I believe that there's something here this evening for all of us. But at the end of the lesson, we're going to sing that well-known invitation song, God is Calling the Prodigal. And really what our hope is this evening is that if someone has left, that they will come back before it's everlasting too late. Let's look at this far country. First of all, this far country is going to hurt us. And we need to understand that many will take this journey into the far country of sin. And we're going to take a vacation from God and we're going to go off and have a good time. Well, let's see what this country will bring. First of all, the journey to a far country will take you farther than you want to go. It'll take you farther than you want to go. Really, when we engage in something like this, we have in our mind that I'm going to leave home and I'm going to go out and do such and such. And we think that that's all that we're going to do. But when we finish that, then we begin to do other things. And it takes us farther and farther. We say, well, you know, I'll leave home and I'll just go out and experience such and such. But then there's more to it. The devil doesn't leave it right there where we just do one thing. Farther and farther down that road of trouble. Notice in the text, beginning in verses 11 through 16, notice what happened to this man after he gathered all of his substance and he went into a far country. He wanted to experience some things, and so the text says that he experienced and he wasted his substance with riotous living in verse 13. But keep reading. It took him farther than he wanted to go. He ended up in hunger. He ended up sitting with the swine. That's not what he wanted when he left home. What he wanted was, I want to have a good time. He got that and then some. And that's what I want you to see this evening. It takes you farther than you want to go. The hunger and the sitting with the swine was after the riotous living. The devil's going to give you more than what you want. He's going to add to it. He's going to give it above and beyond what you're looking for. And so that's the first thing that I want us to notice this evening, that this journey to a far country is going to take you farther than you want to go or farther than you set out to go. You stop and think about some things. Think about sexual sins. Think about drug addictions and alcohol addictions and wasting our money or we're not going to work. We're not going to hold a job. Anger. These things often lead to further problems. We think, well, I'll just engage in this one act of sexual immorality. And so I'm going to go down this road, and this is all I want. I don't want anything else. But it takes you farther than what you want because we end up maybe with an unwed mother or an unexpected pregnancy or maybe a sexually transmitted disease. I just want one drink, and then we end up in alcoholism and other kinds of things. It takes you farther than you want to go. I'll just go blow a little money. I'll just waste a little of my money. I won't get a job. Or I'll have an outburst of anger. I'll just let it fly. And once the words get out of my mouth and finish, that's all the end of it. But then we find through the Proverbs and other passages that it causes other problems. And so it takes us farther than we want to go. There are those who have admitted that it just started with just hanging out with some friends and having a good time. And I just want to go out and have a good time. Well, it took them farther than they wanted to go, and now they're in drug addiction. Now they have engaged in some kind of sexual immorality or other kind of thing. Now I'm in trouble with the law. Now I'm facing the prospect of jail. Now I'm facing the prospect of this problem or that problem. You see, the advertisement of the devil is, come on down. Come on down to the far country and have a good time. But he's going to take you farther than you want to go. And we certainly need to understand that. Turn with me to some Proverbs. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. Do you know why? Because it causes problems in our life. It's a hard life. It causes, first of all, a problem with God. We've transgressed God's law, but it causes other kinds of problems. And we need to understand that. When we want to engage in that sin, and we want to go down that road, and we want to experiment with something new, and we want to have a good time just for this one night, we need to understand that when we engage in that, it's going to bring some hardships and some troubles. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, good understanding, that is following God's word and God's wisdom, giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. It's going to be a hard road. And we need to understand that. And Solomon's wisdom in these passages and other passages are there to tell us ahead of time that this is what's going to happen. God wants us to know ahead of time. He doesn't want us to have to experience this kind of thing. And so we have God's wisdom to tell us ahead of time not to do that. And look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 10. There is grievous correction for him that forsaketh the way. That's the way of righteousness. And he that hateth reproof shall die. There is grievous correction for him that forsaketh the way. When you forsake the way, there's going to be grievous correction. People, it might be a run-in with the law. It might be some other trouble that you get yourself into. It's waiting, friends. That's what Solomon is saying. Look at chapter 21 and verse 18. This young man, all he wants, I just want to leave home. I just want to take my substance and leave home and just have a brief period of having a good time. Well, that all happened. But then it took him farther than that. And that's what he wasn't anticipating. That's what he wasn't thinking about, the sitting with the pigs and being hungry and that type of thing. Look at chapter 21 and verse 8. The way of him that is laden with guilt is exceeding crooked, but as for the pure, his work is right. It's a crooked way, and it just gets worse. And that one sin that we think, well, I'll just do that one thing, it ends up causing other problems. The devil always takes you farther than you want to go. And before we move on, just think about this for a moment. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 4. Ask Cain, if we're not convinced. Ask Cain, for example. In Genesis chapter 4, when Abel offered up that sacrifice by faith, we do things by faith when we obey God's word. And God told him the kind of sacrifice to offer. Abel did that. Cain did not want to do that. He wanted to offer what he thought or what he felt. And that has always been down through time the problem with religious service. It's either we follow God's word or we follow what we think or feel or what man says. And when Cain did that, and the scripture says that God had respect for Abel's sacrifice and not for his, look at verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now look at it. I'm just going to go down the road of being angry. I'm just going to be angry with my brother. Well, did it stop there? I'm just going to be angry with my brother, and I'm going to let him have it, and then I'm going to cut it off and do nothing else. Is that what it was? No, look at verse 6. And Jehovah said unto Cain, why are you wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He saw that his brother's sacrifice, because he did it by faith, was accepted. And so jealousy and envy and anger settle in. Now look at verse 7. If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? And if it does not do well, sin coucheth at the door. The point is that more is standing right here. If you don't stop this and if you don't control this, it's going to come in and step in and take over your life. And we see that it did. Sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But do you rule over it? And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. It took him down the road farther than what he thought he was going to go. It ended up in murder. Now he started off with, I'm just going to be angry with my brother. And it ended up that day in murder. Ask David. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Not convinced? Ask David. You see, when we travel down that prodigal road, and we're going to go into that far country of excitement and freedom and independence, and mom and dad's not telling me what to do, and my spouse is not going to tell me what to do, and the law is not going to tell me what to do, and God's word is not going to tell me what to do. We go down that road of excitement and independence. We need to understand that it's going to take us farther than what we bargained for. I think another good example is that of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, this day started off with just a lustful look. Just a lustful look of Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. It's just an innocent look, just a casual look. It's just going to stop right there. But he didn't control it. He didn't deal with that. He didn't control that within the framework of God's word. And so he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon, and David sent and inquired after the woman. Do you see that as the next step down the road? The first step was looking. The next step is, I want to ask a few questions. I'm kind of interested in seeing on how I might be able to get together. You're going down farther than what you think. It just starts off with a look. Well, I want to ask a few questions. Maybe I can talk with her, you see. Why are you even wanting that? You're a married man, David. She's a married woman. Why are you wanting it? Because it's taking you down farther than what you want. And we've got to see the devil's ploy and the devil's tactic in that. So David, verse 3, sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. So that's the third step. We're just keeping going down the road. We won't stop. So we look, and then we ask some questions, and then we send some messengers, you see, and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. So now we're in sexual sin. But you know the story doesn't end there. You know the rest of the story, how in verse 6 that David plots to make sure that Uriah is on the front line so that he can be killed. Now David started off that day with, I'm just going to look, and he ends up being an accessory to having Uriah killed. When you go down that road and that journey into a far country, and do you think that when David was engaged with that immorality with Bathsheba, do you think that that was exciting? Absolutely, that was exciting. No doubt it was. And there's freedom and excitement and passion, and everybody's having a good time. But then later, I'm a conspirator to killing a man. How do I get to that point? It's that road that the devil makes us travel, and we end up doing more and more than what we bargained for. We've got to understand that, friends, about a journey to a far country. But there's a second element that I want us to think about this evening, and that is that this journey to a far country will teach you more than you want to know. Notice back in the text in Luke chapter 15 that he had gotten so down and out that the text said that he had to come to himself. We would say come to his senses. He had gotten into so much trouble that he had to come to his senses. Before that, he's having a good time. He's thinking freedom, independence, and I'm enjoying this fun life, and Dad's not telling me what to do. I've left. I've taken my journey into a far country. I'm having a good time. But in chapter 15 and verse 17, when he came to himself, that is, in his mind, he had to stop and think, I'm in trouble. Well, ask yourself, what kind of thinking did he have up to that point? Well, he had been thinking some things that were wrong. We need to understand that when we take a journey into a far country, we're going to learn more than what we think. We step out and we want to engage in this sin, and that's the only thing on our mind. I've got this one thing on my mind, and I'm going to have a good time. But you know what else comes in? There's some thinking that comes in that you've never experienced before. When you were at home, you never experienced this. When you were living right, you never experienced these things. Shame, guilt, in trouble with the law maybe, something else. Your body's messed up. You never had those experiences. You never had those lessons before. You never had to deal with those things before. All of a sudden, you're dealing with all of that. shame, guilt, fear, punishment, wrong values. Some people stop believing in God. These things often accompany the prodigal life. And you never had those things at home. What you had at home was good and pure and right. But now you're experiencing and learning things and having feelings that you never had before. Verse 16, he would have fain filled his belly with the husks of the swine. You see the begging there and the longing there and the desire there. Oh, please give me something to eat. He never had that at home. You see, it'll teach you more than you want to learn. And so he had gotten so low that he had to come to his senses. He had to get his thinking back in line with what was right, because he had been learning things that were out of whack and out of line with God's word. Look at verse 17. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He never had that at home. He never had the feeling of perishing at home. He never had the feeling of being in want. But now he's in agony. Oh, I need to go back. Where did he learn that? He learned that in the far country. And so, what the Bible is trying to teach us is not to go down this same path. We have to learn these things so that we don't have to experience these things. Yes, this lesson is a beautiful lesson on how that God wants sinners to come home. But in the process of teaching us that lesson and that story, there are a number of other good things that we can learn. Ask Adam and Eve. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at this matter of learning more than what we want to know. And notice how the devil uses this. You see, when you've got it in your mind that you want to leave and go out and experience such and such, whatever it is, fill in the blank, that's all you have on your mind. And I just want to experience that. Listen, you'll experience that and a lot more. You remember in the story of the serpent and Adam and Eve, where they're told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now look at this in chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. John in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, calls him the great deceiver. That's really the whole point of this, isn't it? These are deceptions. These are deceptions. These are subtleties. I'm going to take you farther than you want to go. I'm going to teach you more than you want to learn. See, these are subtle things that sneak up on us, and we don't realize it until it's hit us. That's how the devil works. And so he's more subtle than any beast. Verse 1, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He completely contradicted God's word. He completely said the opposite of what God said. And isn't that really what we talked about this morning in our lesson? People are saying the opposite of what the Bible says about adultery. They're saying, I give you permission. God says, I don't give you permission. That's the devil's tactic, to just simply say the opposite. But look even more. Look at verse 5. You shall not die. That was a lie. For God knoweth that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. I want you to underscore that in your Bible. There's some truth to that, as we're going to see in just a minute. When you sin, your eyes are going to be opened. And you know what? They're going to be open to things that you don't want them to be open to. You're going to learn more than what you want to know. Well, let's look at it. Your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Notice the last part of that, and evil. Up to this point, they had not known that. They had not been taught that. They hadn't experienced any of that. They're walking in purity with God in the garden. When they sin, all of a sudden, we're learning things that we didn't, you know, we had no knowledge of, and they're bad for us. Well, what things? Well, look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. And in one sense, it did make her wise. It made her wise to things that God didn't want them wise to. She gave also to her husband. She did eat and gave also to her husband. And the eyes of them were both open. Now you underscore that in your Bible. Your eyes are going to be open to things that they don't need to be open to. Shame and guilt and embarrassment and trouble and maybe some sort of a fine or a violation or a penalty. These are things you don't want to experience, and all of a sudden you're experiencing them now. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves. You underscore that. They never hid themselves from God before the sin, but now we're hiding ourselves because we've learned what sin is, and now we're embarrassed. And we feel guilty and we feel shameful. And now we're learning things that we've never had before, and we're trying to hide from God. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah. And Jehovah God called unto the man and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." He never learned that before. He never had that before. Now he does. "And I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, 'Who told thee that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?'" Verse 12. "And the man said to the woman, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me to eat, and I did eat.'" Now we have blame. They never had that before. No fear, no blame, no guilt, no shame. Look at chapter 2 and verse 25. "They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Why? Because there's no sin there. God's not going to teach us bad things and those things that we don't want to know, but the devil wants us to sin and have our eyes open to those things that are not good for us. And so we need to understand, number two, that when we take this journey into a far country, it will teach us more than we want to know. Not only that, but look at verses 23 and 24. They learned what it meant to be separated from God. They had never had that before. Do you know that from the beginning of their creation up to this point, they have been set in the beautiful Garden of Eden? They've never experienced anything else their entire life. And all of a sudden, they now have to experience, "You're out of here, and I'm going to put an angel to guard the garden." Wow, we can't be with God anymore. Well, that was a new one to learn, along with the shame and the guilt and the fear and the blame. Now we're having to experience and learn what it means to be separated from God. You see, brethren and friends, that's what happens when we take this journey. Or ask Judas. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Can you imagine what was going through the mind of Judas? What was on the mind of Judas that night? "I want some money. I want 30 pieces of silver." That's what's on his mind. "I'm just going to go that far down the road." But later that night, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood." He is now learning betrayal. It started off with, "I just want some money." And now I'm learning other things. And I'm learning that I can slump so low with guilt and shame that I'm going to go out and hang myself. I don't think Judas was thinking about that. Early on, it was just about, "Give me the money." But now I'm going to learn betrayal, and I'm going to learn what it means to be emotionally so low that I want to take my life. The journey to the far country will do that. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, this journey to a far country will offer you more than you want to be paid. In Luke chapter 15, when this young man got into the far country, and the text says there that he wasted his substance in riotous living. The Greek word there for riotous means literally unright, not right, not according to righteous principles, not upright. He spent all there. His brother said later, that verse 30, that he had devoured his living with harlots or prostitutes. He became lost and spiritually dead. When he comes back, notice in verse 24, the father says, "For my son was dead." The scripture uses the word death to mean physical death and spiritual death. When we sin, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, our sins separate us from God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. And so we're going to get paid more than what we want. And we're going to be paid the wages of sin. So let's look at a few things. One of them is this matter of addiction. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be offered more than we want to be paid. I just want to get out on my own and I want to have a brief little period of time. And I know that there might be some consequence with that, but I'm willing to take that, you know. And I know what I'm about to do, but and there's probably going to be a little problem with that. You know what? You're going to get a lot more. You're going to get a lot more pay. One of the things that comes with sin is this matter of repeating it and doing it over and over again. This is what we call addiction. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members... Now, he's talking about these Roman Christians before they obeyed the gospel. He's talking about prior to their conversion. He says, you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Underscore that in your Bible. It's iniquity unto iniquity. One version has transgression and further transgression. The point is that it's sin leading to more sin. It's sin leading to repetition and doing more and more and deeper and deeper. So I'm just going to do this one thing and I might get some negative consequence, but no, it's going to be over and over again. And so it gets worse. It gets out of hand. One of the wages of sin is a repetition, or where transgression leads to further transgression. A second thing is that of bondage. Turn with me to John chapter 8. We start serving the devil. We're in the devil's service. Our father is the devil, as Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, your father is the devil, John 8:44, because these Jews were doing his will. So when we sin, it's not just a matter of I'm going to sin and then I can step out of it and not be controlled, but we're in the bondage of what the devil wants us to do. Everyone that committeth sin, John 8:34, is the bondservant of sin. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Do you remember how we began this lesson that the journey into the far country, the first thing that it promises us is freedom? Do you know that that's actually a lie? You can get out here and have your freedom, and you can get out here and have your independence. That's actually a lie. It's actually the opposite. We begin to be bondservants of the devil and we're enslaved. So that freedom that we think we're engaged in, it might be fun on the front end, but we're now just simply enslaved to the devil. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, these false teachers, promising them liberty, that is, you can live any way you want, including a sinful life, and you can look back up through the text and you can find things like eyes full of adultery, back up in verse 13 and 14, and different kinds of sins there. Let's go out and engage in these types of things, and you have the liberty to do that, while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. Now look at this. For of whom a man is overcome, that is, this sin, I'm engaged in this sin, I'm doing what this sin is, the same is he is brought into bondage. So the devil advertises it as freedom and independence when it's actually bondage. And then last of all, spiritual death. You're not in fellowship with God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Now the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's right. But the wages of sin is death. And so we need to certainly understand that. Do you know the book of Revelation? Turn with me to Revelation. In four passages in the book of Revelation, we're told about the second death. You ever thought about that? What is that? What's the second death? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, for example, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is that? Well, it's mentioned several times. Come with me now to chapter 20. Death is separation. Physical death is where the body physically separates from the spirit, James 2, 24 through 26. The body without the spirit is dead. It's a separation. Spiritual death is where we're spiritually separated from God. We're not in fellowship with God. We read about the second death in chapter 20 and verse 6, and again in verse 14. So come down to chapter 21 and verse 8. For the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. John tells us what it is. It's hell. It's the fire and brimstone. Well, then what is the first death? If that's the second death, what's the first death? When we sin, the wages of sin is death. When we sin, we're separated from God. And if we don't remove that sin, we're facing the second death, eternal separation from God in that lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. We need to understand that the devil's going to offer us more than we want to be paid. I just want to go out and engage in this one little thing and have fun, and you're going to get a lot more. Addiction and further sin and further trouble, in bondage to the devil and his servitude, and ultimately, eternal punishment in hell. And so we need to think about that far country. Yes, it's exciting. And yes, it promises us liberty. And it's fun. And folks are having a good time. But this young man ultimately realized that this is not where he needed to be. And he made the journey back. Let's turn and look at a few Proverbs before we close this evening. It's interesting that the Proverbs talk about this subject of sexual immorality. And there are three Proverbs in chapter 2, chapter 5, and chapter 7 that talk about the young man who's not using his senses. The Scripture describes him as foolish and void of understanding. He's not using his brain, we might say. And he goes out and he has this sexual relationship with this woman. Now, notice in the text that it's described as something that when the two get together, they're having a good time, there's enjoyment. But each text, each one, notice it, shows that at the end of the day, you're going to get paid more than you want. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 18 and 19, for example. This young man has gone to be with her. 12, 13, 14, he's gone in to be with her, and she's left her husband, verses 16 and 17. Now look at verses 18 and 19. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. You know why? Because when you go in, you're going to have a good time. But you're also going to get paid more than what you want. And at the end of the day, it's the house of death. None that go unto her return again, neither do they attain unto the paths of life. It's going to mess you up in some way or somehow. I use this as an illustration because the young man goes and he's just thinking, I'm going to have fun, but it's a house of death. Turn with me to chapter 5. Let's see the same thing. And whether it's sexual sin or any other sin, that's how the devil works. You're going to get paid more than what you think. In chapter 5 and verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on shield or the grave. So that she findeth not the level path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she knoweth it not. And she's going to take you down with it. You see, you're going to get more than what you want. Look at chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Look at verse 21, for example. With her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield, that is, come in under her house. With the flattering of her lips, she forceth him along. On the front end, it's pretty and nice. Look back at verse 17. My bed is perfumed, you see. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be glorified, and it's going to be a good time. Verse 19, the man's not home, you see. We're free to do whatever we want, you see. But look at verse 22. He that goeth after her straightway is as an ox that goeth to the slaughter. You see that? You see that? I'm just a dumb old ox going to be slaughtered. Now I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to live it up, but I'm just like this dumb old ox. At the end of the day, there's going to be a slaughter. You see, we've got to see ahead of time how the devil works. Look at this. Till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, you might as well just be walking into a trap, and knoweth not that it is for his life. It's going to take you. And so that and other kinds of sins pay more than what you think. Ask Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 23. He just wanted to offer a little money for the gift of God, and it ended up in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And so the lesson is yours. God is calling the prodigal. If you'll turn in your psalm books to that song that has been selected by Shannon, God is calling the prodigal. If you have lived that life, if you've gone out and experienced some of that, now is the time to come home. Your family wants you to come home. And even more importantly, God wants you to come home. And if you've taken that far journey, whether we've completely left the Lord or we've taken that far journey just at small moments in our life, come back. Don't be led astray by that. Yes, it's a far country that has that excitement and that flair and that independence, and you can go out and it just feels good to do such and such. But understand, it's going to take you farther than you want to go. It's going to teach you more than what you want to know. It's going to offer you more than you want to be paid. And so hopefully we can learn that this evening. We can fall away. The Scriptures teach us that. We can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, we can fall away to the point of not returning. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. But God is wanting you to come back. Don't get to that point of where we just stay away. The prodigal returned, and he returned in verse 17 by coming to his senses, number one. And number two, he remembered the good things that were at home. That's how you come back. You come to your senses, number one, and you realize that where you're at is not the good life. It's the devil's life. And you come to your senses and you realize the truth of the matter. And then number two, you realize the good that awaits you back home. That can be an entire lesson, and we'll save that for another time. But in Luke chapter 15, did you notice the statement that the man makes there in verse 17? How much bread is in my Father's house? And to spare. God's not going to just be chintzy and greedy about handing. I've got plenty to hand out. And this evening there is plenty of grace and mercy and forgiveness and love to hand out if you'll come and come back to the Lord and obey the gospel. How much bread is in my Father's house and to spare? Realize what you've left and come without delay. If we can encourage you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?